You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06. It's a Wednesday morning, November 12th, 2025. Another beautiful, bright morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota. From wherever you're spending your mornings listening across the Civic Media radio network, however you got here, good to have you here. Like I said, it's a bright morning, not just one of the brightest half moons that you might ever see after that really bright full moon. But I got a question for you. Could you get enough of those northern lights overnight? They might still be going right now for all I know. I don't have a north facing window here, but we started seeing social media posts in the early evening that said, you know, northern lights were going to be especially visible tonight. People were already putting up photos like, you know, 8, 9 o'clock last night. And we're kind of partially obscured with trees here when we're looking north, but we could tell there was a little something out there. And then, you know, somebody of a certain age had to get up at 1:30 anyway. And it was there, you know, I've seen sharper ones and, you know, visiting Canada and things like that. And then got up at my usual time this morning and could not believe how widespread and bright they were. Again, not really sharp and well-defined, although if you point like your camera at it, your iPhone camera or whatever, and you get that little two second exposure, oh, those pictures are just nice. And it was, just so widespread and bright. And then I looked on social media, you know, an hour or two ago, and again, just so many fabulous pictures that people were putting up. So I hope that you got a chance to catch them as well. If you want to entertain us, and maybe we'll put it up on social media, you can certainly use the Civic Media app to send us a text message or to text photos to us, or just call us 855-75-CIVIC. And maybe you're much more of a poet than I am and can describe the, you know, the blues and the greens and the pinks that you saw in the sky. Or you can put a comment on Facebook or YouTube, or you can plant a photo there as well and let us know just how pretty it was around by you. Coming up this morning, we're going to talk about Wisconsin's newest stunt rider, Derek Van Orden. He's a motorcycle rider, and he's pulling a political stunt with it. And we'll talk a bit about that along the way, along with so much more. But first, before we tell you what's up for the rest of the show, let's check in with Parker Olson, who is producing the shindig down in Madison Studio A2. Now, I know that there were places like cities. People were posting from Washington, D.C. They never get the northern lights there, and they were able to see it. So let's see if it got as far down to Madison. Mr. Olson, good morning. Did you see anything?
Good morning, Captain Kreitlow. No, I did not see any, mainly because I didn't know, which I'm upset about. Because I'm looking in our general chat here at Civic Media, and there are tons of pictures
my area. Yes, from down there, right?
Yeah, there's a couple in Middleton, a couple in Madison that I'm seeing. And I know where one of these guys lives in Madison, which is like five minutes from me. And I didn't see anything. So I'm upset.
It is tough when you miss it. But yeah, we have, you know, a chat section here on the Civic Media program. And for Up North News, we have something called Slack where people are sharing, you know, photos from around the country. And it's really impressive. And I'm sorry that you missed it, but...
One day. I've never seen the Northern Lights, Pat.
Seriously?
I've never...
I mean, I shouldn't say... Yeah, I get that. I mean, I've only seen them a couple of times myself.
So.
Right. But was it last year? I remember earlier this year, I went to Canada and I was stranded up there.
Yes. How that flight the first canceled? International show in Civic Media history. Yeah.
That's right. Well, when I went to go visit those friends the year before... The Northern Lights in Saskatchewan. I mean,
my goodness. Yeah.
Oh, I can't even possibly tell you. And those are some of the best pictures I have on my phone right now. On the text line here from Jim in Brookfield. Good morning, Pat. I may have missed the update. What happened to Don Rue's voice in the introduction? Well, that was Terry, right? Terry Barr there.
That was Terry.
Show introduction.
Yep.
And you may have heard Luke Mathers yesterday. And Don Rue is still in the mix.
Oh, yeah.
Don and I go way, way back. Our first, well, my first post-college radio job up at the old WAQE in Rice Lake. And Don is now semi or mostly retired, but it was nice of him to cut some tracks for us. And, you know, that's been 3 years now. So we said, let's start to, you know, mix it up a bit. So now you're hearing Terry and you're going to hear Luke and you're going to hear some other voices along the way, but Don will still be there. Don is very much still in things, Jim, but thank you for noticing that as well. Let's see. Also coming up on the program today, we're going to talk about Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy's trip to Wisconsin. And the things that he had to say about air traffic controllers with the government shutdown and how the little prince is very happy if the king wants to decide which air traffic controllers get paid and bonuses and which ones don't. So we'll chat about that in just a little while. We have the gun deer season coming up, and perhaps there's no hunting tradition that is more cherished in Wisconsin than the 9-day gun hunt. And Greg Gunderson will be joining us from our civic media station up in Park Falls, where they've been doing the Deer Hunters Roundup, a special week of programming during the deer hunting season for 50 years now. And so he's going to tell us all about that because, well, for all those years, you could really only hear it, you know, in the Park Falls area. But now that it's on the Civic Media Radio Network, you can get that Civic Media app. And you can listen in as all these hunters call in and share stories and tell jokes and talk about their trophies and everything else. So you'll want to give a listen when we have Gray coming on at about 8:35 this morning. At 7:35, we'll be, it's Wednesday, so it's our homeroom segment, and we'll be talking to Bryn Horton from the Wisconsin Public Education Network. The legislature's in its fall session. They're taking up all kinds of bills, including education-related bills. There are some many good proposals that were put forward by Democratic legislators, and it appears, based on the committee calendars, none of them are being taken up. The Republican ones that are being taken up are not exactly the best ideas for education. For example, just making it easier to consolidate school districts. Well, look, school districts are struggling, but it's because of a lazy legislature that won't adequately fund them. If you're simply going to take two struggling school districts and allow them to consolidate or even merge, well, what happens when you combine two small problems and don't do anything else? You just get one big problem. You just get longer school bus rides and things like that. So we'll talk a bit more about what's being considered in the state capitol. Now, look, if you can't stick around for all of this, I mean, and that's just the start. We've got Melissa Baldoff with the Climate Check, Earl Ingram with the What's Going On podcast, sports director Jimmy Cuska will be joining us as well. And so, look, if you can't be here from now until 9 o'clock, here's what you do. You pod this program. You get yourself over to Spotify or Apple, and then you follow us that way as a podcast. That way, you can either pick a new time of day to listen more regularly, or you can just listen back at times when you want to hear a particular guest or a particular topic. We would love to have you as a follower that way. Similarly, we'd like to have you as a subscriber to the Up North News Daily newsletter. You can sign up for that over at upnorthnewswi.com, and I'm just pulling up what Ellie Bordeaux has put together for us, because Ellie will be joining us as well less than an hour from now. Oh, she is still putting up photos that people are sending in. These are not Northern Lights. These are fall colors, which, again, almost as brilliant as the Northern Lights when you talk about colors that you can see in Wisconsin just by looking up. Let's see. She's also got the latest in her civic check-ins, talking about democracy and the dangers to it, including, you know, looking for the telltale shifts toward fascism, which, again, nobody comes out and says, hey, I'm fascist. In the same way that nobody comes right up and says, hey, I'm racist. You know, hey, I'm a misogynist. And it doesn't work that way. People say the things that they say. They do the things that they do. And it's up to all of us to look at that and weigh what they're saying and doing and saying, that's racist. that's sexist. That's bigoted. And that's creeping fascism right there, what you're embracing there, sir. So how to recognize those signs, Ellie's got an article about that in our newsletter. And as well, there is a story in there from Ellie about celebrating Native American Heritage Month in Wisconsin. So again, you can sign up for the newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. In sports, just a couple of quick notes here. First, from a basketball standpoint, let's see. It was the Badger men's basketball team. They were in action. And Parker, they're 3-0, 24th ranked in the country. They beat up on Ball State 86-55 last night at the Kohl Center. And so now next Monday, they host the final of a four-game homestand to start the season. They will be next Monday hosting SIUE, which begs the question, what is SIUE?
Southern Illinois Easton.
Not Easton, but East? But you're in the ballpark. Southern Illinois University Edwardsville.
Edwardsville
is a suburb of St. Louis, I guess. And so, yes, SIUE, the Fighting Suis? I don't know. Whatever they are.
We're going to find this one out here.
Okay. Well, Parker looks for that. I will tell you that will be coming up next Monday, and you'll be able to hear the game on several Civic Media stations. And then that ends that four-game start to the series, and then it is off to games in Salt Lake City and San Diego after that for the Badgers. Tony puts up on YouTube, I think Wisconsin could be the best team in the MAC. Let's see about the Big Ten. Yeah, this is what, again, and no offense, but this is, you know, why they call it the cupcake part of the schedule, and why if there is a loss in there, it's kind of a big deal. These are the games that you're supposed to win. It's not quite preseason, but these are the tune-ups for, you know, the Big Ten season to come. So that's the one sports event that took place yesterday. Let's see. We also have, of course, the Badgers taking on Indiana in football this coming Saturday. The Packers take on the Giants this Sunday at noon. We have Badger women's basketball hosting Bowling Green tonight at 6:30. The Badger men's hockey team will be hosting Ohio State this weekend. The Badger women's hockey team will be at St. Cloud State. Badger women's volleyball will be at Michigan State this coming weekend. And the Bucks will be in Charlotte tonight. And then again on Friday, they will play Charlotte at home in the NBA Cup. Cup. Anyway, here's the other sports story we really want to get into.
Oh, yeah.
Pat Murphy, manager of the year for the second year in a row. Congratulations, Grumpy, as my wife calls him. Because whenever they do the cutaway. No, he's a sweetheart. He's a wonderful guy. But every time they do the cutaway during the game, she'll be like, hi, Grumpy. Because there he is. Unless he's munching on a pocket pancake or something like that.
It's rare he doesn't look grumpy.
Yeah. It is. And yet he gets it done. And Kurt Hogg from the Journal Sentinel has a long article in this morning's newspaper all about the many things that he does that won him that honor. You know, too many to list here, from the morale to the bullpen management, the starting pitchers, the game time decisions, the rookies that he fought for to make the roster, and so much more. And it's all well-deserved. And yeah, obviously we want to get even deeper in the playoffs here, but that was well-deserved by Pat Murphy. And related to the Brewers, Pat Murphy's not the only one who won Manager of the Year 2 years in a row. Stephen Vogt. From the Cleveland Guardians, former Brewers catcher and overall nice guy, won AL Manager of the Year for the second year in a row.
Wow.
Two of the most well-deserving people. Now, that's a World Series I really would like to see someday.
Oh, God, I would love to see that.
Is a Pat Murphy Brewer team and a Stephen Vogt Cleveland team? That would be something good. So we got goals to shoot for next year. We'll cover some news notes from Sean Duffy and Derek Van Orden Moore. Right after this, from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Civic 855-752-4842. If you want to address our question of the day, Could you ever get sick of seeing those northern lights? Did you get to see them last night? And would you want to maybe text us over a photo and we might put it on one of our social media pages? Wait, you have social media pages? Yes. Yes, we do, he said. You can follow us on social media. Well, for Up North News, you can just search for Up North News WI and follow us there. But of course, we also have a show page on Facebook called Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And because Twitter and Blue Sky don't allow such a long name, we've shortened it to PK Radio Show. You can find that over at Twitter and Blue Sky, where we put up posts and photos there as well. And then, of course, there's our question of the week from our Sunday morning newsletter. Sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. This week's question, should marijuana be legalized and to what degree? There is a bipartisan bill in the legislature that would change the way that weed is legalized in Wisconsin. Do you feel like it should be fully legalized for recreational use, medicinal only, tightly restricted, or fully restricted? We'd love to know what you think. And the people who subscribe to our Sunday morning newsletter get to see the question of the week first before everybody else. And then we talk about it on the radio for the rest of the week here. All right, well, Derek Van Orden made national news. And I'm sure that this was a nice little boost for him. I'm not really sure what it says, though, for his constituents. There I am watching NBC Nightly News, and they're putting up the social media clip that he put up of him getting set to ride his motorcycle from Western Wisconsin to Washington, D.C. for taking a vote coming up here on ending the government shutdown. Again, a deal that will, for the moment, lock in place skyrocketing health insurance rates. Derek Van Orden is rushing back to D.C. to jack up your health insurance costs and doing it on a motorcycle. I got this to say. Even the most passionate motorcycle riders are smart enough to read a thermometer. That might explain why Van Orden is getting the national attention. He's riding through this windshield, you know, through this windshield. He's riding through this windshield, racing the 900 miles there. And it's a fair question to ask, is Derek Van Orden showing himself to be the embodiment of hell on wheels, eager to take a vote to end the government shutdown, or is it more a case of brain freeze, choosing to focus on performative politics while racing to take a vote that could lock in huge hikes in health insurance costs? Or is it an indictment of the job being done by U.S. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy that members of Congress would rather ride a motorcycle through very cold wind chills than to try to fly because of the way that the government shutdown has been managed? Well, that takes us to Sean Duffy, the former congressman up north in the 7th Congressional District, who was in Wausau recently for a meet and greet for his son-in-law, who is running for his old seat in Congress. Duffy has, in many ways, been part of the public face of the Trump administration, just echoing and me-tooing whatever it is that Donald Trump has to say. There were some stories about some White House staffers grumbling about him reigniting his feud with Elon Musk, as if the richest man in the world thinks a reality TV guy role-playing as NASA administrator is going to outrank him in Trump world. But anyway, on the visit, as mentioned in an article by Laura Schulte of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Duffy suggested and agreed with President Trump that air traffic controllers who have called in sick might not be eligible for bonuses that Donald Trump is floating out there on social media. Yesterday morning, Trump said on his tiny network that he was, quote, recommending a bonus of $10,000 per person for distinguished service for air traffic controllers who took no time off during the shutdown, and Duffy said he would support that. Trump in his post acknowledged that air traffic controllers will be paid in full when the shutdown ends, but that those who didn't come in to work at times may receive, quote, a negative mark against their record. Ooh, the president knows that you called in sick and you get a negative mark. He says those who want to find a new job would not be awarded any payment or severance, he said, and they'll be replaced by, quote, true patriots who will do a better job. Really? Did you suddenly fix the shortage of qualified air traffic controllers? Or should I be even more nervous to fly and maybe ride shotgun on, does Derek Van Orden have a sidecar? He might be able to shuttle riders around. Anyway, thank you, Mr. President and Secretary Duffy, for reminding America why we have labor unions. As noted by air traffic controllers, whose messages I've seen, while there is technically a union, it's not allowed to strike, of course, dating back to Ronald Reagan. Calling in sick is really the only influence they have to express a demand to improve a dangerous working environment. And what of those who called in sick because, you know, they were sick? Or could no longer afford childcare because they weren't getting a paycheck or needed a spouse to work a job with a paycheck that Donald Trump and Sean Duffy weren't holding hostage? Now, if you're trying to be a tough guy and you're siding with Trump and Duffy on this, yeah, that'll teach him a lesson. Well, then I congratulate you for having a life so privileged that you've never encountered a work environment so bad, including withheld paychecks, that you had to consider doing things you might not otherwise do, like go on strike. Oh, I've had jobs, you'll say. I've had tough jobs. Well, clearly not tough enough, and good for you. But here's the deal. Trump is not a king, and Duffy is not his little prince, much as he would like to be. We don't have presidents who willy-nilly decide you get paid X, and you get paid Y, and you get fired. As much as Donald Trump wants to, again, role-play like he's on The Apprentice, he doesn't get to fire rank-and-file air traffic controllers individually or decide which ones get bonuses. We don't live in that kind of third-world country, at least not before this year's Banana Republic took over. When we come back, we're going to have today's history lesson. We're going to learn the real origin behind the Buffalo Springfield song For What It's Worth. And as we look at things that happened on this day in history, I'm going to tell you about the Oregon Whale Incident. That's all coming up, along with so much more between now and 9 o'clock. Thanks for tuning in. Live from the lake, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
History lesson on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
That's one small step for man.
Well, I'm not a crook.
Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
You know, this depression is going to be so great. We'll be the ones eating the cats and the dogs. That's going to be fun.
Once again, it is time to take another revealing peek back into history.
We'll start this history lesson in 1984. Yes, this would be the Material Girl herself, who we did not call the Material Girl right away, but we would shortly thereafter, because it was on this day in 1984 that Madonna released her second studio album, Like a Virgin, and it would become her first number one on the album chart. It was produced by Nile Rodgers. And along with the title track came the singles Dress You Up, Get Into the Groove, and Material Girl, moniker that stuck to this day. Also, and I got a couple of notes here from 1966, coincidentally. First off, on this day, I'm sure you've heard the Buffalo Springfield hit For What It's Worth. And didn't you always think it was about Vietnam War protesters? Give a little listen to Buffalo Springfield here. I mean, it makes sense. It is the classic protest song of its era, right?
There's something happening here.
Well, it wasn't quite a Vietnam War protest. It was on this day in 1966 that teenagers in L.A. on the Sunset Strip were protesting a curfew, and they were getting beat up by police. And it inspired Stephen Stills to write the hit for Buffalo Springfield For What It's Worth. So a protest song, but just not exactly the kind of protest that inspired the song. On that same day in 1966, the number one song was by Johnny Rivers.
Welcome back, baby, to the post side of town. To him.
Also on the same day, 1966, astronaut Buzz Aldrin. Now, he wouldn't walk on the moon for another 3 years. This was part of the Gemini program. Buzz Aldrin took the first space selfie, a photo of himself on a spacewalk outside of his Gemini 12 capsule. By the way, Buzz Aldrin is now 95 years old. Still with us, would walk on the moon less than 3 years later. Now we're going to run way up to 1983 now, when Lionel Richie hit the very top of the Billboard Hot 100. Now here, after, 42 years, I learned while putting together today's segment that there's a that whole bridge part that, you know, sounds like it's in Swahili or something like that.
Sure.
I didn't realize Lionel Richie did fess up pretty early on. He made it up. It's all gibberish. He said he wanted it to be authentic African lyrics, but
sure,
he was under a lot of pressure to finish the record. And so they just went with, they kind of made things up instead. The song still went to the top of the chart. It's okay. It's okay.
I know. I hate when you do that.
I know. I'm sorry to show you behind the curtain there. You heard Al Michaels just there in the intro saying, "Do you believe in miracles?"
Yes.
That was 45 years ago. Which do the math. What was he? 30 or something. Whatever. Today is Al Michaels' 81st birthday. 81 years old. Now Michaels is still calling games. He calls the Thursday night ones there on Amazon Prime.
Yeah. I didn't.
You're not nearly as impressed.
Well, I just didn't have him as that old. I didn't realize he was that old.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Well, you know, he's making good money. He can take pretty good care of himself. And he started as one of the youngest play-by-play guys, I want to say, for the Cincinnati Reds. But he's been at this for a very long time, and at a very young age was thrust into roles on network TV, including, of course, what you hear there, the Miracle on Ice game from the 1980 Olympics in Lake Placid, when the U.S. hockey team upset the heavily favored Soviet Union. Neil Young is 80 years old today, and Hathaway is 43. On this day in 1988, a little history was made with Kylie Minogue doing a remake of a classic hit first done in 1962. So Kylie Minogue went to number 3 on the charts with that song, but it then meant that that song, The Locomotion, became a hit near the top of the charts in 3 different versions. First time that it happened. Little Eva did the first version in 1962, and then my own favorite is Grand Funk Railroad did their cover in 1974. So that was number 3 from Kylie Minogue this day in 1988. Who was number 1? That would be a group called The Escape Club. I get a kick out of it now. You know, we're so many years past the turn of the, you know, the millennium. But you heard there the lyrics, you know, heading for the 90s, and you had Prince doing 1999. And there was all this anticipation, like, we're coming to the end of the 20th century. It's going to be a new millennium. And now I kind of wish I could go back and go, guys, it was no big deal. things just kind of kept happening.
Age is just a number.
Yeah. Let me tell you about some of the stuff that's going to play out in the 21st century. And they're going to be like, Donald Trump, what? Jesse Ventura, what?
The Apprentice guy? Huh?
The Apprentice, what? Yeah. Anyway, on this day in 2004, Gwen Stefani, who had been with her band No Doubt since 1986, finally released her first solo album, Love Angel Music Baby. And Holla Back Girl, which you're going to try to play that on the radio for you.
Did you? Holla Back Girl.
Yeah, can't do that.
There was, in high school, Pat, in my world history class, there was a parody of that song about the Black Death.
The plague?
Yes. And I forget exactly how it goes, but it has something about fleas on rats in there. Yeah.
That's great. That's...
It was a thing.
It was a thing. All right. I'm glad we picked the song that we did then from Gwen Stefani.
Me too.
We're releasing that solo album this day in 2004. On this day in 2019, Disney Plus launched. One of its first big hits also debuted, the Star Wars franchise series, The Mandalorian. You watch that?
Great show. Big fan.
You do? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen an episode. And I like the Star Wars movies. I've seen the movies, but I don't think I've watched any of the TV show spinoffs, prequels, sequels, anything like that.
Okay. I would strongly...
What's the other one? The big one from like last... Is it Andor?
Andor. I strongly encourage you to watch that, Pat. Especially season two, because it is quite reflective, I think, of the times we are in now.
I have heard that, people talking about the commentary that it makes. So, all right, it's on my winter watch list.
It's
we're
that
not going to be outside.
I was thinking about rewatching it the other day, so maybe we can.
Look at that. Now I'm the one getting yelled at by Tony on YouTube in the comment section. You've never seen it, Pat? No, I have not.
Not me.
So there. One against me. That was, and Tony's adamant. He's like, you need to watch them both this weekend. Okay, maybe I will. We'll see. Let's see. That was 2019. On this day in 2020, the Sony PlayStation 5 was released. Here's like, that's still the one that is being sold and used today, right?
Yes.
The PS5.
Yeah,
look at that. I almost know what's going on with the kids and their video games, he said over here playing Pong. All right, one more birthday to share with you. Booker T. Jones of Booker T and the MGs turns 81 years old today. Here's his 1962 hit, Green Onions. You've heard this behind something in movies or TV or whatever, no doubt. It's one of those instrumentals that's just, it feels like it's eternal.
I feel like I'm going to go play baseball.
And so that gives me the opportunity, while that plays in the background, to tell you that on this day in 1970 was the famous Oregon Whale incident. On this day in 1970, a sperm whale had beached itself and was rotting on the shore.
Oh.
This happens every so often.
I know what happens.
Well, in this case, somebody got the bright idea to blow it up. And then once you do that, you know, a bunch of birds would come and eat up all the scraps. Things went awry. There was an explosives expert who happened to be in the area, not part of the crew, but who said to them, 20 sticks of dynamite should be able to get the job done. The engineer on the job went with 20 cases of dynamite.
Oh,
hey, local, if you've never seen the footage. Just all you got to do is Oregon Whale, you know, and it'll be there. A local TV reporter narrated the footage that showed, in his words, how the blast blasted blubber beyond all believable bounds. Chunks of whale rained from the skies, denting some cars and leaving a stench that lingered for days. And because the noise was so loud, it scared all the birds away. Birds never returned to start devouring the whale stuff. They ended up having to bury it anyway. This day, 55 years ago.
Okay, I am currently watching.
Oh, are you looking it up?
I'm looking it up. Quite the report we've got here. I've got to skip it. That's a lot of dynamite.
That is a lot of dynamite.
All right, here we go. 3, mm-hmm. 2, 1. Okay. Oh, Jesus. It's like a landmine went off.
It's like a much more than a landmine. Again, 20 cases of dynamite to blow up a whale.
Oh, God.
Did not work out
so
well.
Oh, it's raining down.
It's raining. Oh, and the chunks of sperm whale are coming down, and the people are running. The humanity. What if it was a manatee? That would have been easier.
God.
Anyway, what's on the National Day calendar for today?
Pat, it is National Happy Hour Day, which in my... My best guess means that it's happy hour all day.
Yeah, that's so. It's happy day.
Yeah,
have a happy hour all day. Did you, especially in college, have like a favorite happy hour special, or maybe you do now? I mean, not everybody does, but I do. So I thought I'd ask if you did.
I'm a big Captain and Coke kind of guy.
Okay, so anybody with a happy hour special on Captain and Coke?
Not that I know of.
For ours, as college students in Eau Claire. And again, this is 1985 now, so we're going back a ways. God, 40 years. Ooh. But Chi-Chi's was the big, you know, Mexican restaurant chain, and they had just opened up in Eau Claire.
Yeah.
And I later would get a job there waiting tables. But I loved going there for happy hour because to attract business, not just specials on margaritas and things, but they had basically an all-you-could-eat nacho bar.
Oh.
And so you'd load up on tortilla chips, and then not just salsa, but there was a lot of rice, a lot of beans. I think there was like chicken or ground beef that went. So one day a week, Sherry and I ate like kings. Because we had no money at that point in our college career until I started waiting tables to pay off the drinks that I was buying during happy hour. So, good morning, everybody. Enjoy that happy hour. Luke Mathers is asking on the text line, does the Nitty's 10 p.m. power hour count? I believe it does. Happy hour can be any time of day.
Well, in Whitewater, to bring in a lot of business, they do all you can drink for like $12.
Ooh. Yeah, in college we had a place that had 10-cent taps. You're not going to get that anymore, but you can do a lot of damage with a dollar.
Yes, you can.
We will have Ellie Bordeaux, our newsletter editor at Up North News, coming up after the news. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, Civic Media has a daily newsletter that you should be checking out. For links to show highlights and much more, sign up at civicmediatoday.substack.com. All right, where were we? We were doing the National Day Calendar here with Parker Olson. Then we'll do a little entertainment news as well. We'd hit National Happy Hour Day. What else are we celebrating on this Wednesday, November 12th?
Well, Pat, this might be the weirdest one that I think that I've presented to you. Fancy Rat and Mouse Day.
Fancy Rat and Mouse Day.
Fancy Rat and Mouse Day. It appreciates domesticated rats and mice as pets.
I feel like you should be playing the Michael Jackson song Ben in the background here.
I forgot that's about a mouse.
Yeah, a rat even. Yeah. So congrats to all of you who have fancy rats and mice. This is your day to shine.
They have positive traits, Pat. This is the purpose of this day, is to acknowledge that they have positive traits.
Of course they do. Okay. What else we got? We got anything food-related besides me loading up the happy hour nacho bar?
Well, after you load up with the happy hour, you can load up with pizza with the works, except for the anchovies.
So it's pizza with the works day, but they purposefully exclude anchovies. Yes.
Not a fan of fish on the pizza, I suppose.
If you're going to get pizza with the works, I mean, the works means the works, right? You know.
Well, it depends on whose works.
I guess. You see, now I am very, very big. I love a good pepperoni, good sausage.
Yep.
But if you can get me pepperoni, sausage, and mushroom, that for me is the best. And that's all I need, you know. And I get other people like other things. I, for one, if I'm getting a Caesar salad and they have anchovies, I love them on there. I think anchovies are great on a Caesar salad. I would not put them on a pizza. There's just, you know how there are some foods that taste better on some things, but you wouldn't have them on other things. Like, I love diced onions on hamburgers and hot dogs. Not a fan of onions on pizza. You know, there's just different. Anchovies are kind of in that same vein.
Yeah.
One of the nicest things when you go, when did you know you were going to marry the right person? Well, Sherry knew early on I'm a rather picky eater, or can be. I've gotten a lot better, but I was really picky when she met me in college. And, you know, she loves pizza with the works. So we learned early on that in that case, she'd get what I would always jokingly call her garbage pizza, because they just threw everything on there. And I'd just get my simple little pepperoni, sausage, mushroom. But hey, if it works for you, for your pizza without the anchovies, then this is your day. I hope some places are having specials today on that.
That's good.
Ask your local pizza joint if they'll do something today for pizza.
Do they know that it's Pizza with the Works Day except for anchovies?
I don't know. But we've told them now, so they've got till lunchtime to adjust their menus accordingly.
This is a good point.
All right. What is in the entertainment world today?
Entertaining news, Pat. Sabrina Carpenter is going to both star and produce in a new movie that is going to be based on Alice in Wonderland. It's her first major studio movie. We don't know much about the movie. It doesn't have a release date or really plot details yet. But we know
the plot should be pretty, It's like Wicked. I mean,
it could just be like around it. Yeah.
Okay. Oh. Where the Wizard of Oz is kind of there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
By the way, when does that open? The part two of Wicked. That should be.
It should be pretty soon, now, right? I would have thought.
Yeah. And is this one 4 hours long? I mean, the last one was, what, 3.5, something like that? I hope they tie a bow on this thing a little quicker than they did with part one.
Certainly would hope.
That was the other thing. When you got done with it, it's like, wait, that was part one? There's more?
It releases on the 21st of this month, so just a little over a week. Okay. And it is a 2-hour, 17-minute runtime for Wicked 2.
Ooh, they've cut it down. Okay, good job. Okay, I can handle that. So Sabrina Carpenter as Allison, that would make sense, I guess. You know,
I think so.
Kind of played a type on that one. All right. What did you see Jimmy Kimmel's last night, or at least his monologue? I mean, Jimmy Kimmel is not shy about tearing up, and obviously did at the loss of his band leader and his childhood friend, Clito Escobedo, saxophonist that he's known since like the age of 9, something like that.
Yeah, they grew up across the street from each other. They were really good friends.
Yeah, he noted that that he had been treated recently at the UCLA Medical Center in Los Angeles, but an exact cause of death wasn't said. But they, you know, when you see something like that, you know, and you really see the depth of friendship in show business.
Mm-hmm.
It's really very telling, and it was really something. You know, Jimmy Kimmel didn't have to come out there and tearfully eulogize his friend and band leader, but did, and it's one of those things that, you know, fans of his show really likes that, you know, he's one of the most human people on TV today, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know what you get with him and what exactly he thinks. And, you know, he's funny naturally. And he's emotional naturally, as the case may be. All right. Any other entertaining things to pass along?
We have Antonio Brown. If you remember him from, being a football player, a wide receiver, most notably with the Steelers, after running off the field, after taking his pads off during a game once, he's kind of gone off the rails. He is currently facing trial for an alleged shooting, which he says he was acting in self-defense. He's pleading not guilty after, I believe, he was in the UAE, I think, for a while and then got extradited back. Very weird situation there.
So between that and who is the football analyst who just got fired, who was stabbed? He was in,
Mark
in
Sanchez,
an altercation.
Yes.
Mark Sanchez recently, and then you had the member of the Dallas Cowboys who recently lost his life to suicide, and you know football has done a pretty good job in trying to improve safety. You see those big oversized helmets that they wear now that kind of make you look like a character in Mario Brothers or something, one of the mushroom people or something.
Like Toad, yeah.
But hey, if it's safer, that's fine. But I feel like there's still a ways to go to understanding, you know, CTE and other things like that. And Antonio Brown has had a checkered run since running off the football field there. So. More legal troubles for him. All right, coming up after the news, as I mentioned, Ellie Bordeaux will be here to talk about the newsletter she puts together for Up North News and Bryn Horton from the Wisconsin Public Education Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.